This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Among the approximately 50,000 people who gathered in downtown Los Angeles on Saturday, April 22nd to March for Science were a large number of women and women scientists. As someone whose own background is in science, I've been particularly drawn to the women who spend their careers devoted to science and who struggle to get recognition for their work. Women of color in science face even greater challenges because, let's face it, science is overwhelmingly dominated by white men. During Saturday's March for Science, I spoke with a number of women in science, and today we bring you their voices.
My name is Jennifer Hernandez. I'm a professor at Keck Graduate Institute in Claremont, California.
And can you read out your sign for our radio audience?
It says, I'm a first-generation Mexican-American scientist, not a murderer, rapist, or drug dealer.
So explain that a little bit more. Obviously, you're referring to Donald Trump's racist demonization of Mexicans.
Yeah, so I've felt attacked ever since Trump decided to run for president, not just as a scientist, but also a woman, a minority, and now a scientist. My parents came here illegally in the 80s, but thanks to a Republican, Ronald Reagan, he gave my parents amnesty and gave his children an opportunity. I'm a scientist, a professor. My sister is a social media expert. She has her degree. My brother does too. My cousins, who are also first generations, they're very educated, going to UCLA, Berkeley, and the majority of first generation students are in the STEM field. They're in the sciences, technology fields, and we are awesome. We are not criminals. And I just want to make that clear to Trump that we're here to stay, and a lot of millennials that are first generation here to this country, they're going to be able to vote pretty soon, and we're going to make a difference, and it's going to be a positive one.
And so at the March for Science today, what sort of message do you want to send, not just about being a Mexican-American scientist, but about science funding and research?
That is very important. I mean, I am now a professional. I'm a scientist, and this has been my dream ever since my dad had type 2 diabetes. And now that I'm a scientist, I rely on government funding, NIH funding, to push my research forward, to be able to maintain my research lab. And without that, we won't be able to discover cures for diseases, cancer, all these diseases that affect minorities, type 2 diabetes, all these rare diseases, MS, fibromyalgia. Without that, there's not going to be any more future cures. So science is very important, and it's being attacked, and I need to defend it.
Can you tell me a little bit about your research in particular?
So I've always been interested in type 2 diabetes research, but there's not a lot of labs that are doing research on type 2 diabetes. So I started doing research on immunology because it has a lot of similar pathways. And now type 2 diabetes is an inflammatory disease. And so I'm studying the role of immune system in type 2 diabetes, like in the adipose tissue, and see how the immune cells interfere with the glucose being uptaken by the cells. Because a lot of what happens in diabetics is that they have a lot of glucose in the blood that's not getting into the cells. And it's believed to be due to inflammation. The inflammation is somehow interfering with the glucose being uptaken by the cells.
Have you been political before? Is this one of your first times doing this?
This is my first time, my first march. I've never been political per se, but now part of my American Association for Immunologists, it's going to be in Washington, D.C. I plan to march there again in next month, and I'm part of this team that's going to go to Capitol Hill and talk to representatives of my community and talk to them about science and how it's important to keep it funded.
So is it important for scientists to start getting engaged in politics? Because for a long time, for example, evangelical Christians have become political and helped to squash, you know, things like stem cell research, for example, right?
Yes, it's very important. We're seeing a lot of scientists now run for political office, and it's amazing. There's only a handful of scientists that are in Congress and senators, so it's very important to have a voice in Congress and in government. Yes.
I see you have a daughter.
Yes, yes. She has her own sign. Learning about how important the earth is and how important it is to recycle in school. So I thought I was a little bit scared of bringing her because of, you know, protesting. But I see that it's important to show children how much science means, how important it is, because the children are our future, and if we don't take care of our planet, we won't have, they won't have much of a future left.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Maria Elena Zavala. I'm a professor at California State University at Northridge. I teach plant biology and cell biology and biology.
Why are you here today?
I'm here today because science touches all of our lives all of the time. Science provides, it discovers, you do discovery with science, and then you end up with innovation, and then you end up with jobs. So it's really important for people to understand the connection between science and their daily lives and the importance that science plays in all of our daily lives. All of us probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for science. With regards to our health, how we got here, our cell phone, the tape you're using right now, all of that is based in science. So we really are touched by science every single day.
And why are scientists marching in the streets? Because scientists usually don't get political.
We're not political. We're supporting science, but there is some rumblings that there are going to be some very severe cuts to things that make and have made an important difference in the lives of Americans. And we want to be sure that decisions are, when they are made, that they are based in evidence. That's what scientists do. We collect data and we draw conclusions with evidence. We don't just make it up.
So do you feel that today science research is under attack and that politicians are trying to politicize science?
In some ways, yes. In that they wonder the value of it. But knowledge is, my dad once explained to my grandfather why I was in research. And he said, it's like putting money in the bank. You don't know exactly when you're going to use it, but you know that you might, so you save it. You gather that knowledge, you gather that money, in essence, so that you can go to the next step when you need it. What happens if we don't, if we didn't have like a CDC that could tell us stuff about the Zika virus? We know about the Zika virus because somebody isolated the first virus from a plant. And viruses work very similarly. And the more we learn, the more we understand. And scientists really try to understand the natural world. And so because of that, we try to avoid the political aspects. But the reality is that all acts are political.
What drew you into science?
I'm basically a curious person. And I just like to figure out how things work. I've always liked to figure out how things work.
And is there a concerted effort that we have to make to get American kids more interested in science, improve our science education? Because once upon a time, the U.S. was a leader in science research, and now we tend to, you know, attract immigrants with science background, and fewer Americans are going into science.
This is a real problem, and that's one of the other passions I have, is trying to make a more equitable access to science. Everybody likes to do science. Little kids love science. And so why aren't we capturing their imaginations? Why are we so hung up on just teaching math and English when we could really use science to teach math and English? So it's integrated. Science integrates a lot of human interests and a lot of human capacity. And what's wrong right now is that in the United States, we're only fielding, if I'm a baseball fan, so we're only fielding less than half of the team. The rest of the team, it's made up of women and underrepresented people, are not represented in science. So you're trying to win in the technology game by only fielding and supporting half the team, or fielding half a team. You want to play with all nine positions if you're a baseball fan. And without investing in the diversity, in diverse people and in diverse places in the United States, it will never happen. We're just going to keep hobbling ourselves by not being inclusive. We have to develop inclusive, good science that helps kids explore and get excited.
What sort of message, finally, what sort of message can a gathering like this send to those who make the decisions on funding science education, and acting on scientific research and data?
All they have to do is think about the last time they got sick or someone they loved got sick. And if it weren't for science, that person would probably be dead. So it's important that we understand science, that we use science, that we engage people in science to make those discoveries that can be life-changing. Right now, we all got here on the metro. We use our cell phone all the time. And that really also improves our lives. We can do things we couldn't do before. And I think that by cutting off basic research, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. Because when the next virus shows up, we won't have the information that we need to combat it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, my name is Wajiha Mahmood. I'm a biology major at Chaffey College.
I'm Esmeralda, and I'm a biochem major at Chaffey College as well.
I'm Donia Hijaz. I'm a student at Chaffey College as well, and I'm a psychology major.
So why are the three of you here today?
Well, for one, everyone here is defending the value and the importance of science. I feel like it shouldn't be this way, but it's very important to come out and do so. It's important to be heard and defend what is important.
Well, first of all, I'm taking evolutionary ecology right now, and the professor I have is so amazing, and she's made everything connect with why science is needed. Like, everything connects. Like, we need it for everything, like carrying capacity. So, like, I never realized why we learned everything we do until now, because it all connects, and it just it affects the whole world. Like, so cutting down the budgets, and this is going to affect science. It's going to affect the whole world, so I'm against that, because you need science.
Going off of what she said, science should matter to all of us, because even if you're not a science major, it still affects you. And unfortunately, we have an administration that doesn't take facts seriously, doesn't believe in global warming, is just ruining, like, just Earth, and they're not taking responsibility for their actions. So I think it's up to us to protest against that and say that's not okay. Science matters, facts matter. You can't just believe something and then be like, oh, it's an alternative fact. No, it's, yeah, that's just...
So I'm talking to three women of color, two of you in a hijab, and I want to ask you to read out your sign and explain why this is important for you to say.
So my sign says, this is what a scientist looks like. So when you see me, I wear the hijab. I'm a woman of color, like you said. So I think that diversity is very important in every discipline, and not only the diversity in like race and religion, but also integrating. So she's a psychologist. I don't think that you have to be a STEM major to defend science.
STEM being science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
So even psychology is a science, but like you don't have to be a STEM. So it's very important to notice that. And you don't, like, it's very important to defend science no matter what you are, what you believe in. It's...
Are there enough women of color in science?
No, there should be more.
And do you think that's a challenge that science itself faces, that it needs to overcome? Because if you were to follow rationality, logic, and scientific reasoning, we would get the exact reflection in science fields as we do have in our population. So there are social forces at work, right, that unfortunately so far science isn't addressing strongly enough, maybe?
Unfortunately, the field of science is dominated by white males, and they make the rules, and they make it harder for, you know, for, as Hillary Clinton says, to break or to shatter the glass ceiling, and I think that's up to us to do that.
Even like in physics, I don't know her first name, but I know her last name's Noether. She worked so hard, and she wasn't recognized. She was a white woman, but still, she was a woman, and she wasn't recognized for a long time. She would work in many schools, and she discovered an equation, and she wasn't recognized until after she died, which is not fair.
There are many great female scientists that throughout history have made amazing findings, and they don't even get the credit because they are female. So today we are not only defending science, but hopefully getting the word out. Like, this is what scientists look like, everyone here.
And all sizes and shapes and forms, it doesn't matter your religion, it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your ethnicity. Anyone can be a scientist. You don't even have to be in, like, the science field, but if you take facts seriously, if you read papers,
you can think like a scientist.
Yeah, you can think like a scientist, and you can say, no, that's wrong. Like, from the facts that I'm reading, what you're saying doesn't make sense. And unfortunately, I feel like when people hear the things Trump says, they don't use that logic. Like, they assume, oh, he's the president, so he must not be lying. But it's like, and anyone, not even just, it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, you shouldn't just believe what anyone tells you. You should look at what the facts say, what statistics say, what the research says, and that's what, you know.
Donald Trump hasn't just attacked science and threatened to cut science funding. He campaigned on demonization of Muslims, of Mexicans. Do you feel sort of attacked on multiple levels, given who you are?
Yeah, as a STEM major, as a biologist, as an immigrant, as a Mexican, woman of color, I'm a woman, I'm of color, like everything. He's just attacking like every little thing that he can. It's not fair. So this is why we should speak up.
And I think these protests, that's what I love about them, is we're standing up for everything, not just for science. I'm here to stand up for women, immigrants, science, people being able to practice whatever faith they want. Like, that's why I'm here. And I think that's what this protest represents. It's not just about science.
This is what this country represents, not just this protest. I feel like people should be able to believe in what they want to believe and just be, like, even if you're a minority, just don't feel like people are putting you down for being a little different. So, yeah.
As long as your beliefs don't impact other people, right?
As long as you're not harming yourself and harming other people, then, you know, like, that shouldn't stop. People shouldn't be. That's the thing. People don't understand the difference between beliefs and facts.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
like, for example, I don't like chocolate cake. I can't say that's a fact. That's my opinion. Like, I don't, it's, you know, it's not, it's subjective. But when it comes to science, it's objective. It's like, there's researchers doing different, like, methods and different, and they're doing the scientific method, and they're seeing, like, they're looking at hypotheses, they're looking at all these different things. So you can't say, oh, I don't believe in global warming, that's my belief. It's like, no, you just can't say that. Like, that's a fact. It's not, like, global warming isn't something you can be subjective about. There's, you know?
There's evidence based on it. It's the same thing how people view the word theory. So, like, scientific theories, the way we use it, not in science, is like, oh, that's just a theory. But really, it's a lot of time, evidence, and like attacking that, like when scientists come up with, like, they want to find a research finding, they attack it in order to find more evidence. So, like, it's not just a theory, it's a lot of time, effort, and work, facts, evidence goes into it. So it's,
and a theory is as strong as the evidence to back it up.
Yes,
it's the closest thing to truth. Like, it's not a theory because until they're like almost 99.9% sure that it's true. And they can't call it truth because it's not 100% proven, but it's basically almost proven. So,
well, thank you so much for doing this interview. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a special report featuring the voices of women scientists at the March for Science in Los Angeles on Earth Day 2017. After the break, we'll continue our coverage in this hour-long special. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.